Let me speak to you about creativity just a little bit before we go into the message. Sean and I talk a lot about models and how to do church. We're just sort of interested in that kind of thing. And just, I guess it was last week maybe, I don't remember, we talked about models church, where we fit in and don't fit in. During the worship, I went to him and I said, sarcastically, which model does this fit in? Okay, we do the worship, we pray, intercede, do some more worship, move around. Of course, I was being sarcastic. Because we asked, we're always trying to figure out what model it was. And then as I walked away, the Lord just spoke to me real clearly. He says, you've got it all wrong. He said, if you're a prophetic people, you don't imitate models. You pull from other places and you learn, but how you mix it is unique to you. And we've talked a lot about creativity last week. And here I am talking about it, I didn't even see the picture. He says, this should not look like any other model. If it is, you're an echo and not a voice. Because I'm wanting to do something unique in this place. And you'll pull and we learn and all that's valid. I mean, we all do that. I mean, it's not just in and of itself. But you know what an echo is? There's actually a little echo in this room. You have to really pay attention to it because of the concrete walls. But an echo is repeating what's already been spoken. And he's wanting to raise up a people that listen to the echoes. I mean, but your voice should be unique for where you're at and what you're doing. And if it's always just copying models, you're an echo. And you're following what I'm doing in others instead of following what I want to do through you. I guess it's a gift, maybe. It is. Is in the last 2 weeks I've ministered to and been with three other pastors from other churches. Not just people here, three other pastors of other churches. And this is a regular pattern. Each of those three times, what I do is I've just learned to listen. What is the calling on their life? What's the uniqueness in their life? And try to pull it out and help them to see it. And that happened in all three of those times. No use going into the stories. It's just stories. Good stories for them. And that's the same with us. If you're going to bring out creativity in other people and find your uniqueness, you've got to find your uniqueness in this own place. And so, Sean, I guess our model is the RC model, influenced by other models. There's a prophetic word there, though. Do not just be echoes. We learn, it's like kids learn and repeat when they're little what their parents say. That's the normal process. But eventually, they should get to a place where they find their own calling. They build on that and find their own place. But that takes courage. Amen? All right, we've been talking. Well, let me give this word now. I was going to give it later. For those that were here right at the beginning, we talked about going into dark places. Y'all remember that, for those that were all talking here. And Nikki, I've been picking on you a lot lately, hadn't I?
Pick away. God's got something to say, I want to hear it.
Anyway, right after that, I just felt the Lord say that some of the people that society has given up on, you're going to help them. You're going to give them hope. And I don't know if that's something you want to do. If you don't, that's between you and the Lord. You struggle with it.
Can I tell you this?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if many of you know, I'm a licensed tattoo artist, okay? And I left that was my dream. And I dragged my kids through 2 years of no pay of apprenticeship, and we had just barely enough to eat so that I could do that. And then I realized that I can't live the life that most tattoo artists live. I can't go the places they go to drum up business. I can't do this. So I quit. And I went home. And we had a Celebrate Recovery ministry at the last church we were in. And so many of those people have bad old jailhouse tattoos or tattoos they got when they were on substances, and they are just terrible. And now they're trying to walk with the Lord, and they just have this, you know, terrible thing they have to drag around with them. And what I started doing is, just if they would give me a donation, if they had $5 for my ink, I was doing restorations on their tattoos and covering them and making them new.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I did so many of those. And I'll tell you, the first one of those I did, the lady, when I was done, she started crying. And I thought she started crying because she didn't like my work, you know. And she said, no, I can't believe that anybody thought I was worthy.
Wow.
Something that's beautiful. So that's really what I have in mind to do, is I really, when the kid, when we're a little more entrenched here, I want to open a studio and just do ministry covers for people who have been in the darkness and now.
Wow, now that's a cool idea. Well, anyway, you're going to give hope to those that thought God had forgotten about them. Yeah.
This is pertinent.
Yeah.
Worshiping a while ago, I just happened to look down, and her tattoos, I think, are beautiful. She's a real artist, and I've told her that before. But I looked down, and I saw some of these vines and scrolls that she's got, and the Lord said, I'm going to tattoo their hearts. And he wants to tattoo their hearts.
Ooh, that's good. That's a good word.
Yes. He has a ministry for you in that.
That's
he will tattoo their hearts.
That's a good word, yeah. Well, Sean, even as we're sitting here, Sean has got a unique calling to bring more of the presence into places. And I'm just going to pray over it. I just heard the Lord say, when you go into a place, they have an idea of what they want to accomplish. And it's usually an echo. And that's okay. You're going to take them that. But somewhere along that journey, He's going to give you insight of their uniqueness, whatever it is, songwriting, music, drum, whatever. But there's going to be something that you're going to see, and you're going to help teach them to blend it in with what they're doing and give them the confidence to do it that'll make it that uniqueness. And it'll take, you know, so he'll prophetically just speak to you. Oh, this is da-da-da, this is da-da-da. And it may take time for them to see it, take time because they're focused on doing whatever. Does that make sense? So that ability to see that is growing, or is there. Let me pray over real quick since we're in this mode. And Courtney and David during worship, I know you're back there with little one there. Let me just say this, during worship, I just felt my spirit. Obviously, you're close physically and married, but I just saw in the spirit, y'all's ministry is intertwined together. That's there. That's more than most marriage couples. Obviously, if you're married, there's things that you flow together and dynamic. But y'all's, it's almost like whatever you go to and end up doing, you're not going to be able to do it. It's not just your call. He's got a calling, then you got a calling. And that there is some truth to that. Don't get me wrong. But somehow or another, in just a spirit, it's just like, I just saw like this DNA strand. Y'all, each one side of that DNA. And so whatever ministry comes down the road, you'll have to figure out how it fits with each other and flow together. That's a good thing because it'd be more powerful than one can two can put 10,000 flight. But it's also hard to learn how to flow with each other in a ministry. So, but there's just a unique combination there. And so if you never thought about it, just be open to the Holy Spirit as He gives you stuff. All right. We very quickly, we'll just stop when we stop. If you can put the slideshow up, Mike, or click into it. We started a little while ago talking about seven enemies of the soul. I think everybody should know here, but you're made up of three parts. This isn't a definitive theological statement, but this is the most common belief. You got your body, you got your soul, which is made up of your mind, will, and emotions. As a minimum, you got your spirit. And when you get saved, the spirit comes inside and lives inside of your spirit. But he wants to change. That's Romans 12:2. Renew your mind. Also renew your emotions. Some people need their emotions renewed. But renew your soul. And obviously, he wants us to have healthy bodies. You know, we're not legalistic, but a lot of the rules in the Old Testament about what to eat and how to eat is because he knew there are some things that are harmful to your body. And so we're not going to get into that. But it's to renew your soul. And we could probably come up with 500 enemies of the soul. But these are just ones I felt led to brought up. We talked about this for 2 weeks. It's on tape, never resting. That it's in the rest. We talked about in Corinthians, you've got to labor. You got to work to rest. Now, is that an oxymoron? What does that mean? You got to work to get rid of the distractions. You got to work to focus. You've got to work to take time to rest. It's one of the few things that we're commanded to in the Old Testament about working. It's usually walk in it. But he said work, walk in this to rest, because that's where creativity comes. Most of the time I find myself a consumer of information with the smartphones and the computers and I whiled away an hour, but I've not produced anything. But anyway, we talked about that for 2 weeks. This next one, I love these little pictures here. Let's talk about this for a few minutes and why it's so important. Matthew 6:25 says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father teaches them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" So let's talk about this. We won't finish this whole subject today. Worry really isn't the starting point most of the time. The starting point most of the time is fear and anxiety. And then we start worrying about what we're afraid of and worrying about what we're anxious about. Well, why are you saying this? The Bible says that you can't stop temptations, but you have to cast out the thought. You know, comes up, man, I hate that person. Well, that's, you can't necessarily keep the thought from coming in, but then what do you do with it? If you act on it, it moves into actions. The thought there is in the middle is what's critical. It's like fear and anxiety. You can't really stop those things from coming in. You get an unexpected bill like I did this week with my property tax going up like 40% in one little time. I'm like, what is going on? I need to pay more attention to county commissioners and millage rates. And so all of a sudden this anxiousness wants to jump on me and go, how am I going to afford this thing? I can't stop that thought. You're driving down the road and all of a sudden a car crosses the line. What happens? Oh my, you know, your fear wants to come in. But if we don't capture those thoughts, it moves into worry. We're worried about the property tax bill. We're worried about whatever it is. And then it can become a perpetual part of life. You start not just worrying about what's happening. You start worrying about what could happen. Y'all following me? How many of you have been there? When we start moving into worry, we can't necessarily stop the anxiousness. We can't necessarily stop the fear. But we can grab a hold and take the thought captive of worry. And that's where we have to intercept that thing. Because worry will steal your future. It'll come over you and so immobilize you that you do not accomplish what you need to accomplish. Think of the Israelites. Joshua 1:9. The Israelites come out, see great miracles. It's time to go into the promised land, and they're gripped by fear of what they see. The problem is they're on the side of the river where there's not very many McDonald's. There's not a lot of fast food on that type. There's no steakhouses on that type. It's on the other side of the river. But even after seeing God move so strongly, they could not cross the river and go and fight. God picks. It's just hilarious who He picks. It's not always the greatest, the most character. He just picks who He picks. I don't know why. He picks Joshua. Now, Joshua was a faithful man. He was a loyal man, but evidently he was consumed by fear. He was not like, give me a sword, I'm crossing the river, I'm going to cut the heads off the giants, and we're going to do this thing. This is what God says to Joshua. He's trying to talk him into being the leader and going across the river. Have I not commanded you? Okay, this wasn't a suggestion. There's something going on behind the scenes. God spoke to Joshua and said, go! Dude, do it! Do it! And he still didn't do it. Have I not commanded you? How many of you can identify? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Worry had wormed its way into his life and kept him from doing God's will. And we have to identify these patterns, that when this anxiousness comes, when this fear comes, we have to say, I am going to take captive every one of these thoughts, and we're not going to go there. We're going to talk about how if we have time. If not, next time I teach, we'll do that. Now, how many of you know people that are just worriers? There's two levels here. One is worrying about what you know you need to worry about, paying the property tax bill. Another one is worrying about things that even you know will never happen. See, worry is like a cancer of the mind. Once it gets in there, it starts consuming the present, then it starts trying to consume your future. People that are constantly worried about what could happen or worry about, things that could go bad, what is this? This is a demonic attack that you're agreeing with and saying, steal my future. Instead of having faith and courage, steal my future, keep me in my seat, help me not to move. And we start coming up with these worst case scenarios. There's a humorous little video, it's about 2 minutes long. If you want to play that, that's in the Song Show Plus, so you'll have to move on out. I'll go turn out the lights in the front. It's called Worst Case Scenario.
Email was down again. And Bill called me into his office again.
What's wrong?
Nothing really. He just thinks he can come down and fit in with these blue-collar guys. You know, he's white-collar.
Or you've done something wrong again. And you're getting in trouble. And you'll get demoted. Then you'll stop shaving. There goes my vacation. Maybe leaving it fired. And then you'll do that lazy thing and I'll have to go back to work. And there goes the house. We had plans for this house. We'll be living out of our car or out of the street, and eventually we'll be forced to move in with your mother.
How was your day, Kim?
Well, Dana's having a party Friday night, and I thought I could go. But before you freak out, it's not going to be that big of a deal. I mean, y'all guys know this.
You're a great kid, but there's no stopping the peer pressure. It just takes one sip and you're hooked. And then there's the smoking and the piercings and the tattoos. And the boys. Even good boys don't have good intentions, never mind the bad boys. When you'll go straight for one of the bad boys and they'll introduce you to all the bad things, and you'll get pregnant and drop out of school, and we'll never see you again. And we'll be stuck with your kid.
What about you, Mom?
I've been considering taking up string art.
No.
Desi's been doing some really wonderful things with it. You can do anything with string. Did you know you can make refrigerator magnets?
Everyone knows string art is a gateway craft. You'll start knitting and making me hats and scarves and sweaters and making me wear those sweaters. And you'll stop dyeing your hair and get those grandma glasses, and you'll want a cat, which will kill my allergies and probably lead to more cats. And you'll want to make things and bring it to my class and embarrass me in front of all of my friends.
Is this a cat hair?
Yeah, I thought that was humorous. But don't we, in our own way, we worry that same way? And we'll talk more next time I teach about one day at a time. But this is the main thing I want to get across today, is it steals your future. And it also reveals a base attitude of what you think about God. It reveals an attitude. He tells us to have a childlike faith. It's like a little Emerson here. I guess that's not my nephew. I don't know what he is. That's my nephew's kid. Nephew's son. My great nephew, is that right? This kid, I'm telling you, he is not worried about what he's going to have for lunch. He's not even thinking about tomorrow. Now, I know we're adults and we've got to go to work and we've got to make dinner. But you know, he said have a childlike faith. Well, where's the source of that faith? It's not in him. It's because Courtney and David have fed him whenever he needed to be fed. They've established a pattern of trust, and he just trusts them. And it's like he just knows it's there. And so when we're worrying about today or worrying about tomorrow, it's showing that we've not had the history with God that He's going to take care of us. Amen. And so before we get under condemned, what we need to do is go into His presence and say, Father, I am worried about XYZ. The amount of worry in your life is a reflection of the amount of time that you've not spent with Him. Now, that's a harsh thing, but I'm going to give you several points, not today, we're running out of time, but the answer is to run into His presence and say, Father, I simply just don't trust that you're going to pay this land payment. That's just an example. I simply just don't trust you're going to do it. Admit it, because He already knows it. And say, Father, and spend enough time in His presence in praise, in worship, whatever it is, so that you start feeling how great He is. Just an example. Father, this is your house. You led me to this house. If I don't pay my land payment, I'm going to get kicked out of this house. I know that's not your will. You're going to show me what to do to save extra or work extra or whatever. But I'm going to stay here because I know your will is not to move out of this house. Christians and humans have this tendency to always think of the worst and to always think of the most negative thing that could happen and think, well, this is going to happen to me. It's just something in our unrenewed mind that is not in children that were raised correctly. Some of us might have had fathers or parents that didn't give us lunch. And so we set up patterns. And so part of getting free from an enemy of your soul of worry is to start redefining who God is. So this is clicked into. We have to examine our beliefs about God. And this is a big deal. And what we've got to do is regularly get into His presence, because it's not just truth, but it's a person. You can learn all the truths and learn all the verses that the birds aren't going to have needs, that God's going to need it. But when you meet Him in prayer or worship or walking through nature or whatever you got to do, then all of a sudden you realize it's not just in the Scriptures, it's not just the Bible, but it's also about me. And some of the things we need to do is redefine our... There's a lot that God gets a bad reputation in churches a lot. He gets blamed for things that He didn't do. He gets blamed for things He's going to do that He's not going to do. Let me give you two of them that I know that apply to this that I just want to say. We believe in a fantastic future here. I heard that from Chris Vallotton recently. We believe here over you, not just for Craig, but over Joe, over Elizabeth, over Lisa. He has a fantastic future for you. Very few Christians believe that and internalize that, or else we wouldn't be so fearful of the future. Sometimes our theology, especially around now, I see it all the time in all the articles I look through or look at the headings, 7 ways that we're going into the tribulation. Oh my gosh, I'm going to go into worry just reading that thing. I don't know that much about eschatology, but I know this. We win in the end. And it's going to be a glorious time, and His kingdom's coming to earth. I don't know if we're going through the tribulation or not, but if we do, I'm going to have victory over it. Jesus is stronger than the beast or the Antichrist. Amen. We believe in a fantastic future. You know, this time of the year, or at least a couple months ago, at high school graduations, a lot of the Christians use that verse, Jeremiah 29:11. The plans I have for you are a hope and a future. Do you realize when that was written? The Israelites We're in the 20th year of a 50-year exile to Babylon. And even in that, he's saying, there's a fantastic future for you. And I tell you, we have to switch our mindset to one of abundance, not poverty. Amen. We have to switch our mindset to one of revelation and not dryness. We have to switch our mindset from one of presence to that we've got to run away from the boogeyman. I'm telling you, God has for you a fantastic future, and worry will steal it. And when worry comes, you just say, I bind up that. James 4:7 says, when you're under attack, submit yourself therefore to God, rebuke the devil, and he'll flee. Those can be thoughts. I submit myself to you, Father. I may not see it right now, but I thank you that I have a fantastic future because I'm still here on earth. If I don't have a fantastic future, I guess your cross is just not big enough to make it happen. I guess the devil is just plain bigger than you are. That's what we're saying. I just want to bust that little religious nonsense. That we're just going to be like the years ago, like 30, 40 years ago, showing my age. Remember, there used to be, well, maybe you don't, but there used to be a phrase called hang 10. And they'd often have a picture of a cat sliding down the door with 10 claw marks on the door or whatever it is. I think many people's eschatology or future, eschatology just means the future, is that way. I'm just going to hang 10 and I hope I get to heaven before I hit the bottom as you're sliding down that door. He has a fantastic future for us. Amen. I'm telling you, it is so big, it's just amazing. And when you start, the devil comes in and says, this isn't going to happen, that's going to happen. You start wondering, what is he doing? Just think, you got to grab yourself, you got to rethink. He is trying to steal my future and talk me out of it. You know, just because you got a prophetic word doesn't mean it's going to happen. Almost all of them, some of them are sovereign and it's going to happen. Most of them, you got to match it with your faith and believe it. The number one tool to keep us that keeps us from moving forward is between our ears. Believe. Second, and we'll, as I want to talk about, is our view of God, is we believe in the impossible. God's future for you is too big for you to make happen. Well, he's called me to do this in business. Well, you need some divine connections in business. You can't be a Mark Zuckerberg, and even with him and his Facebook and all that he's happened, or Elon Musk and all that he's done, he's had to have connections, he's had to have people, he's had to have loans. It's the impossible. I was listening to Chris Vallotton. He was talking about this, and that's why I mentioned Elon Musk. He was talking about that. This guy's, I read a lot of his stuff. He's an atheist. But look at what he's done. If you don't know, he's done the Tesla electric cars, the SpaceX, which is totally revolutionizing space and rockets and how we're doing it. And he's got the Hyperloop thing that he just gave away to somebody else. He's always come up with ideas. That is awesome, but you know, that provokes me. He's changing this planet. That provokes me. Because he doesn't even have the Holy Spirit ignited with it. Pray that he gets saved, but I also pray Christians dream big and say the impossible is possible. And then when you have not just your own, he's a genius, your own natural strength, but you have the Holy Spirit that's giving you ideas, it'll just change the world. Believe in the impossible. Believe that it can happen. And what happens is when you step out in creative ideas or step out and, you know, like they're going on the extreme tour and step out and go to a skate park and start playing. Maybe not him, but a lot of people go, well, what if this is not received? Or what if nobody comes? Or what if this? Or what if that? That's worry coming in to try to stop you and steal your future. That's why it's such an enemy. And that's why it's so important to grab a hold of this. Because when he births ideas in you, I'm telling you, it's going to scare you to death. It's just going to scare you. A little while ago, I had an internal vision about I don't want to name the denomination, but a traditional denomination in town about a move of God in their church and that don't even believe in the spirit gifts. And I had to wrestle with this. Well, what if I'm rejected? Or what if this isn't right? And I did have to figure out how to say it. And I gave that to this pastor. And surprisingly, the pastor turned to me and said, I pray. No, he said, pray with me that that happens in my church. Well, something was birthed there. Something was seated there that I knew I was going to do it because I've been doing this long enough. But I still had to wrestle with the thing. Worry about what they're going to think. Worry about this or that. And so change your belief about God. Childlike faith. He's going to take care of you. And then when it consumes you, go to Him. We'll just flip through these because we'll probably move on to the next one next time. And take every thought captive. Well, how do you do that? I have to get in His presence. And I have to say, Father, I'm scared. I'm worried. How do I pay for that? See, that's active faith. Otherwise, it's just hope. Well, I hope He takes care of it. No, move in. Take each worry. If you need to write it down, write it down. Sometimes that helps. Sometimes this helps to imagine the worst case scenario. Can I get through the worst case scenario? Will God be strong enough to get me through the worst case scenario? If not, then I'm going to stay and keep praying to Him until I know that He's big enough to get me through the worst case scenario. And then the grips of it, the talons of that demonic spirit will loosen in your heart. And then as that video said, just one day at a time. Amen. Let's stand. Because as I talked so much about the last two times, God is wanting to birth things in you. He's wanting to change your world. And so let me ask you this. We all like that. Yeah, let me be an influence in my world. Let me change the world. Well, let me tell you, to do that, you have to change to some degree or add to, increase. But when you do that, I'm telling you, every time, I've been a Christian for over 40 years, every time He leads, I'm always going, there's something that pops into my brain that I got to take thought of captive. But what if it doesn't work? I've got something good here. I don't want to kill it. We can come through a zillion things. You just got to realize, okay, I can't stop those things, but I can take those things captive. And I say, I rebuke that thought. It is not going to steal my future. Amen? Amen. Father, I just bless these people here. I just pray Your blessings on them. I pray Your hand upon them. And I pray that in everything they set their hands to, that as they walk with You, You'll just prosper. I just bless them. Just bless them and bless them. Pray they hear from You more than they've ever heard from You before. They're able to walk out what You've already given them better and more efficient than ever before. And Father, I just pray right now over every person in this place, dreams and visions are implanted into these people. Yes. And revelation is implanted in these people. In Jesus' name. Amen.